everybody. Welcome to For the Fans. Here we are today talking about Big Brother Canada 10. We are going to recap the latest episode from last night. We're also going to get a little bit of a view into our live feed spoilers. So if anybody hasn't seen the show just yet or doesn't want to know what's going on, we'll tell you. We'll let you know when you need to leave. We'll let you know. But there's some really interesting stuff going on in the house today. I'm Sheldon. Joining me is the legendary King Kevin. Hey, Kevin.
What's up?
And we have our jester, Josh. Josh is here. Woodstock, Ontario. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing well, Sheldon. As always, I thank you for having me on.
Well, thank Kylie. She is the executive producer. Kylie is the boss, and Trish. So thanks to both of them. So who wants to talk Big Brother Canada? Because it was kind of a fun show last night.
Listen, I've been dying to talk to BB Can. I wasn't on the Friday show. You guys did a great job with Peter. I want to talk about everything because Josh said that Kyle was going to be killing it in this game. And boy, oh boy. Was he wrong? And even though his boy got the HOH, things still weren't looking great for him because him and Jace and Gino, they didn't know who to trust. And that was my favorite part about this episode, Sheldon. Watching them having a 9-2 vote, and then them all looking at each other like, did you screw me? No, did you? I mean, there's no way Marty screwed us. So it had to be JC Lynn being like, Gino didn't vote with us. And Gino like, I can't trust JC Lynn. Because obviously, Marty, it was the other vote.
So right? So I love that. We're going to get there, Kevin. We're going to get there really, really soon. Let's start off with, we have this eviction. Steph goes up those stairs, and what she says is, oh, you guys don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on. Right? What? It was 9-2. Obviously, most of the people know. So even as she was leaving the house, she still didn't know what was going on in the actual house.
Yeah, no.
So but I think, to be fair, I think that her, JC Lynn, Gino, and Kyle were such in shock, especially the way Arissa said it. She says, with a vote of 9-2, Josh, you are safe. Stephanie, you are going home. It was just the shock on her face. I don't think she knew what she was talking about as she was leaving.
No. Yeah, I think the fact that Gino, JC Lynn, and Kyle and Steph, all four of them were so shocked that like they couldn't even trust even Kevin mentioned this earlier that like the three of them don't even like trust each other for like a good like 10 minutes straight into the episode. So it's like, That's how good of a blindside that was. I'm like, these people know how to keep their mouth shut when it comes down to saying certain information to the right people, but also know when to flip the vote when they want to do it or whatever the HOH wants.
Listen, I need you guys to all be aware though. You people watching BBUS, do not ruin blindsides. They are worth it. Whoever told Brett that he was going home, looking at you, Derek F, do not do that because they are so much better when you watch the genuine shock on their face because they had no clue.
Like, Kevin, I get that. From a TV show perspective, yeah, you're right. Isn't the right move? Wasn't it the wrong move for Marty to really completely and totally really break those bonds with Kyle, Gino, and JC Lynn? Wasn't that like, I don't know if it's the right move not to tell people.
If it's a blindside, if it's a legitimate blindside, like a genuine blindside, like it was last night, then yes. Like when Brett Champagne was going home, Brett thought he was saying, and there was no one really voting for him. You're not breaking anything. Brett's not going to be on the jury. It doesn't matter. Everyone know Brett is the only one that's going to be hurt. In this case, similar. Only one that's really hurt is Steph and Kyle.
I mean, I think the fact that like Marty wanted to jump on the blindside Steph bandwagon, I think like the move was right for Marty's game because had he been on the wrong side of the votes, like he would have been targeted. But I think what kind of screwed him was that like Gino, the one who won the HOH from last round's episode, kind of got him screwed because he's like, uh-oh, I flipped at the wrong time. Now I'm going to get nominated. So, like, I think it was the right move for Marty. It's just that the wrong person won HOH at the wrong time for him. That's how I saw it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about this because it leaves a real bad taste in people's mouths. And yes, I understand this, the concept of maybe you don't do it post-merge or, sorry, post-jury phase and you could do it before that. But people remember, like, I remember what you did to this person on the second night. And I don't know if I want you to do that to me.
That's fair.
So there's also something else that was really kind of interesting. It was so small, but right after Steph leaves the house, all of the house guests do their obligatory hugs, which makes me crazy because for some reason in the Big Brother house, after every conversation, after every pee, after every you cook an egg, everybody has to hug and congratulate you for making this egg. I never got it. But we see this moment between Josh and Kyle.
Oh, so good.
Josh is so pissed. Josh goes to Kyle and says, "Don't hug me." Turns around and hugs somebody else.
I don't know if it was that cynical, but yes, it's exactly what he said. Because it was great because he gives the hug, I think, to Moose, and then he takes like a step and then does like I did marching band. He does like a parade turn, and then he steps, turns her back around, and Kyle's like, "Oh, okay, it's like that." Yes, Kyle, it is like that. You were trying to send this man home, and him and his people outwitted you. So yes, you do not get a hug. You do not get a congrats on still being here because this is not what the plan was for you, Kyle.
Which I have to say, I love that because like 92% of the hugs, and yeah, that's a real stat, 92, they're all fake. They don't mean anything.
Oh, 100%.
And Josh is just like, "I'm not playing this game. You did some really bad stuff this week. You tore up this house. You put me, your alliance member, on the block. You wanted me out, and now you want to hug me? Absolutely not. Go away. I'm going to take that room for a second if I can."
Yeah.
I think like that was a wake-up moment for Kyle when that happened, when Josh was like,
"Wait, time out. Josh, yeah. That was the wake-up moment, not the 9-2 vote?
Think about it. He did not know. Okay, listen. He did not know that he messed up his HOH until literally Josh survived. That's when he was like, "Oh, I messed up big time." I'm like, "Now you realize that?"
Well, and I think it really goes to this idea of if you do not have self-awareness
Agreed.
In life, in this game, you won't make it. If you don't understand what you are doing and how it impacts other people and have the ability to read other people, which I actually find from Kyle is kind of strange. He's a podcaster. I assume he talks to people. He should be able to read them, ask some questions. Like, I don't know. How could you not feel that something's happening? How could you not feel that after a week of terror of Hermann telling you, "Yeah, can we shoot outside of our groups?" Like all of these people going to him and saying all these things. How does he not know? How is this a shock?
Like, I think it's just more so that, like, he did not have enough conversations to read the room. I think that was the problem here. Like, he read the room perfectly within the first few weeks. But then when he was HOH, it was like he did the exact opposite. It's like he went from, like, an S-tier player to an F within a span of, like, 6 days. I'm like, how did that manage that?
I wonder That's how tough. Much of that was luck.
I can't – I feel like you can't – you can't call him an S-tier player when he was put in good spots.
Hold on. What's an S-tier mean? Explain this.
So in certain like ranking systems, there's an A, B, C. Within the top tier, there's an S-tier. It's like a special tier. Top tier is an S-tier. And for you to call him an S-tier player, he didn't have to play yet. And the moment he got handed the baton, if you will, he screwed it all up. So
he
was put in a good spot because of his likability, which is great. So like they put him in the Savage Seven. He's in the retreat. He has a good relationship with the guys amongst the village idiots. So he is with all those people, right? And he's in a good spot. And then he said, "How can I mess this up?"
Yeah.
And they did.
And then he single-handedly went from being the best position in the house, well, one of the best positions, to like all of a sudden to be straight on the bottom of in front of everybody that's left in the game. I was like, you had one job. And Frenchie, I like You might have done it worse than Frenchie. I don't know. At this rate, it's arguably one of the worst compared to Frenchie. But
well, I actually do think it's worse because at least Frenchie only had 1 week. This guy had two. Like, this is day 18, 19, 20. Like we've had a lot of time to build real deep relationships, to really get the lay of the land, to see who's with who. Like Frenchie at least didn't have information, so he was making strategy out of nothing. Here, he had data, and he made used that data and did shit with it.
He had a lot of data, and he used them horribly. He mismanaged it on everything, and it's crazy. Like, I don't understand why he had all of this information, and from literally from almost all angles of the house, probably almost at the ranks of T and Summer at that point, but then he configures it in a way that like made his alliance members go, huh? You want it? Wait, you're putting Step on the block because why? Oh, wait, she's not fully with us, but yet she said she had your back. You want to put Moose up because he's a pathological liar when you could have backdoored him, but you decided to put him out right now. You have a massive target on your back from him. And now you decided that, hey, I'm going to put Josh up because he almost won veto twice.
I mean, really? My guy, Herman said it best. He's like, this 23-year-old think he's playing us, man.
Bingo.
He's not playing us. He wants me to be okay with just putting up. Because I mean, that's the next part right there, right? He's talking to Gino, and Herman is like, he wanted me to put up Steph. Like they cut out the part that what he originally said was they want me to put up Steph and I'm gonna flirt mans with her and you got me putting up my flirt mans. Have you putting up Steph? Then you want me to just be okay with you putting up Moose and then breaking up the seven. And then you go, I mean, they showed the clip where he said, I would rather have a strong six than a weak seven. Oh snaps, let me go after another member of the six now. Like
so let's get into this because you know, we start to see JC Lynn, Gino, and Kyle really having no clue, thinking every single one of the other are responsible. JC Lynn and Kyle have this really awkward conversation in the bathroom where Kyle's like, no, it was you. And then JC Lynn's like, yeah, it was you. And I don't try, like, oh, and they both didn't do anything wrong to each other. But JC Lynn's like, you think I'm an idiot? And then you see my favorite man, Herman, Kevin's guy, goes straight as the salesman as he is and says, you know what? I can't just be quiet. I got to go salvage my relationship with Gino. He pulls him into a room and says, listen, as Kevin just said, this man disrespected me. This man disrespected us. I had no choice. This was not a move against you, Gino. I still want to work with you. I like you. I trust you. I do not want to work against Kyle. Thoughts?
Listen, when JC Lynn goes to Kyle and is like, why'd you do this to me? Why'd you leave me on an island? And she's like, I have no idea what's going on. She's like, you don't know? You didn't get your boys to do this? No, I have no idea what's going on. She's like, you expect me to believe that, Kyle? I legitimately have no idea. I thought Kyle had a dumb misstep here where she's like coming at him and shouting. He goes, think about me on my HOH. Bruh, no one's thinking about your HOH right now. JC Lynn feels like she's a fool. I would have, if I'm Kyle in that moment, in that very moment, I say, JC Lynn, I'm telling you, I had nothing to do with this. I'm just as shocked as you are. Emotional. Trust me on this. Real. This is definitely against me, not against you. The house is mad at me for sure, and I'm not sure why.
And the funny thing about this is that, like, JC Lynn was popping off at Kyle. And then, like, Kyle was just, like, so confused, like a deer with headlights, being like, what are you talking about? And the funny thing is that, like, JC Lynn got mad at the wrong person when she should have been mad at Herman and Marty.
See, that's the thing, though. She thought that Kyle masterminded this thing. And that's why it was and that's why I'm disappointed in Kyle in that moment, because he should have recognized in that moment that she's so mad that she has to be telling the truth, right? That there's no way that she is coming. She's Sheldon, you're shaking your head. She was crying and she's yelling at him about him masterminding this thing. He should have recognized in that moment that she was one of the two votes with him, because she's calling.
Come on. You're sounding like Josh now. Well, what the heck is going on?
Ouch!
Josh, at the beginning of the season, when I too was in love with Kyle and thought he was playing a great game.
Oh, no. Like, I'm saying that Kyle should have just...
Kyle right now, he obviously has very little ability to, A, understand people's emotions.
Yeah.
Understand how people are feeling. But I understand that relationship when it relates to the game. Like, he doesn't get it. He looked like he shot himself second time in a week. And he had no idea. He looked like a 23-year-old kid, as Hermann said.
Yeah,
Who didn't know what the heck was going on. He shot himself. His pants are down beneath his legs. And there's JL and telling him all these things and angry. And he was like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. Please don't hurt me.
I'm with you. Because for myself, that would have been proof positive. Like, he needs to have some awareness. Because that should have been the smoking gun that at least she voted with you. Because that was... She's crying, and she's even telling you, if I knew it was Steph, I would have did it. And it's like, oh, she definitely didn't know, and she definitely voted with me, and now she feels like she looks like a fool because of me.
Well, and I think there's one more other step. JL was also crying probably because she thought that Gino broke her heart after they are now in the showmans and they're making out, and she has emotional connections for him.
And he tricked her. Him and his boy.
So the cut was deeper, right? Yeah. This was a very deep cut.
And Kyle and his boy still couldn't
recognize that.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we have this other really small scene. It was about 20 seconds, but I thought it was so interesting because I don't know if Summer made a mistake here. Summer, JL, sitting down beside each other, and JL is basically saying, I think Gino flipped. And here's what Summer says. She says nothing. She says, oh, yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. So was that a mistake by Summer? Summer knew Gino didn't flip. Summer knew exactly what happened. Is she – like, was that a mistake that she didn't just fess everything up?
No, like, I think, like, she just wants to, like, get the people that they knew that they are close to Kyle to turn on each other. So, which is a very valid tactic. Like, she doesn't need to, like, tell the truth, being like, oh, no, Gino voted with you. Because then, like, at that point, Summer could have been like, oh, wait, Gino and JL are still going to be going, they're still going to be tight. Might as well sever that tie for the time being until they figure that out. Because if you think about it real quickly, Summer still wants to try to rope in Gino, but Gino is working with the wrong people, and Summer knows that. So that's why she's trying to make sure, being like, hey, JL, go after Gino, and Gino, go after JL. By that point, I'll be able to control both ends.
Is that not a wasted opportunity for Summer to try to bring in JL?
I don't think so. Like, she still wants to have the girls' alliance and get rid of most of the guys. So I think maybe it's kind of a way for her to target Gino anyways. But don't think that's a questionable move.
There's a theory on the internet.
Ooh.
Oh, what's the theory?
That Summer has a little bit of a crush.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah, yeah.
And so,
on JL's man. And why would she want to bring in? She's not like Steph over here and JL bringing each other in and become besties, even though they have a crush on the same dude. Summer's like, I'm just gonna have it. I'm gonna have her not trust him. Then I'm gonna just swoop in there.
That's exactly what I was thinking. So it's just like, why not just have those two butt heads for the time being until they figure it out? And once they do figure it out, you could be like, oh, well, okay.
Well, as an aside, I thought that it would be Summer and Gino as the showmans. I wasn't as certain about the Summer, about Gino and JL. So maybe I'll get both.
I was positive about JL and Gino. I was so positive, and watching it, but I was like, literally looking at their photos, I already knew who was going to hook up in this place.
One more thing. I also think, like, potentially this would be the perfect week to throw in a love triangle now with Gino, Summer, and JL. I think this would have been the perfect opportunity.
Do not say that. I do not need my Summer. I don't need my Summer over here involved in this stuff. Summer is my favorite on this show right now, and I don't need her involved in that mess that she can't control.
Hey, look, it doesn't get any worse from my pick. Summer's my last pick left, so it's just like, if she wants to go out that room, why not? Go have at it. Have fun.
So we finally head on to The HOH competition, fun little memory-ish comp, and Gino wins HOH. Is this the saving grace for our former best friend, Kyle?
Well,
you would think so, man. This is he probably won't go on the block in this situation, right? Because he is his there's only, Gino only can trust two people, Kyle and whoever voted with him, which is JL. So JC Lynn is going to probably be safe, and Kyle has to be safe because Gino needs numbers. So you think so? Yeah.
I mean, like I said this last episode, that like if the people that were voted in the minority win HOH, Kyle basically spared himself another week. So Kyle got lucky getting Gino for the time being. Whether Gino would not put up Kyle for this week, we're going to have to see if he's just going to like follow through whatever the house wants. Because right now, that is like nine people that basically said, hey, screw you, Kyle. I'm not siding with you. So that's majority. So if Gino wants to take the easy route, hey, toss out Kyle. But I think Gino realizes that after the week went down, he has to reevaluate everything. And I think him winning HOH can just be the perfect recovery move for him to get himself in good graces with some people.
So we are continuing on here with trying to figure out who were that two, who were that two. And we see this interesting scene between Gino and Herman, where Herman sort of deduces that the two were JL and Gino, and you who voted with Kyle, I guess, and did what Kyle wanted. And you sort of see this sense of, oh my God, she didn't fuck me. She didn't screw me over on Gino's face. And then huge relief. And I get that. Like, it was real in that moment because it wasn't just a game. It was, I really like her. I hope she doesn't hurt me. And then we see what Marty has been doing this entire game, telling it as it is. Goes up to Kyle and says, hey, it was me. You know, I'm the one who helped you put it on. I put him on the block. It's my fault. Josh was there. But, you know, I was not part of everybody. And I made sure that Josh stayed. Okay? What do you think about that move?
Hated this move.
Marty.
Hated this move. Marty is probably my least favorite player this
season. No.
Marty. Okay, here's the thing. Marty is smart, but he's so loose-lipped on a lot of
information. It's not loose lips. No, Josh, that wasn't loose lips. He volunteered the information because he was his honesty. He's too, like, for someone that's a super fan, for you to be like, I need to tell the truth all the time because I feel bad. Like, I mean, so Taryn from Rob at the podcast said it best. If you're worried about your reputation, don't go on this show. It's that simple. And so for Marty,
yeah, he's got kids at home.
Like, I know. I get it. I get it. But he made a move, and it was a good move. But then for him to say, the fast forward a little bit, he talks to Gino and says, if I'm you, I put me on the block. Because what I did to you was not okay. He feels bad, and you can't feel bad when you made a game move that didn't actually hurt anyone. You didn't screw over Gino. You didn't really screw over Gino. That's who you're close to. You are against Kyle. You screwed over Kyle. So for you to have not voted with Gino and then now feel so bad about it that you feel like you need to go let Kyle know, crazy.
I mean, like, I think Marty got his emotions played out. That kind of, like, put himself to make some messy plays here. Him, like, being a little too upfront and honest about what he was doing, like, he really should have not said anything because by that point, it could have been a little more speculating. And then if they want to ask Marty, being like, hey, who'd you vote for? That at that point, you could be honest. But you don't need to voluntarily give information if you felt like someone who won HOH was in the minority, now then all of a sudden you choose to do it. It doesn't quite add up, in my opinion.
So what's the rationale? They know he didn't vote with them.
Not at the moment.
So what do you say? Nothing?
Nothing.
No, they knew. They knew.
Not yet. Kyle thought it was JL and Marty.
Yeah, but
Gino thought it was him and Marty.
Her mom already deduced and told Gino that it was that JL and Gino were the two votes. So at some point they would have figured it out. I don't know. I don't actually agree with it because I'm not sure there was another move for Marty to make. I think honesty sometimes is the best policy. It put him up as a threat, but he also just solidified a 9-person alliance of some type or a 9-person group of people that are against one human in the house. So he has some backing.
I don't think so. I think, like, had Herman not said it was JL that voted Josh to go, I think Marty would have easily not said anything. But because he voluntarily did, it's like, well, cat's out of the bag anyway. So you might as well just could have just left that quiet. Because Herman could have lied and said, yeah, you know what? I know it's Marty and I know it was you. Like, yeah. He could have just lied there too. But that's up to his knowledge.
I don't know. I think I don't know if it's going to work, but there's something pretty amazing if you get to the end to be able to say, I got to the end, I made moves, and I never lied. Like there, that's something, that's a huge selling point. I don't know.
It depends on the jury, in my opinion.
I'm never just going to vote for someone because they never lied.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just more so like you have to like, see how good of a game that they played. You can't play an honest upfront game, but you can still tell a few white lies here and there because the white lies can be differentiated for you to tell the truth, but not all of the truth for that matter. You can even twist some of the facts, but Marty telling the straight up truth, like right there being like, yeah, I did this. Like it gave me huge question marks on him. And I'm just like, he's going to get himself like evicted, like in like within the next 2 weeks, if he keeps this up. Like, I wouldn't trust him if he keeps doing that. Like, oh, you didn't tell me this first? Why'd you do that now?
Yeah. Well, we then go into seeing Gino's HOH room, where he gets pictures of his little dog, El Chapito. He sees his mom. He sees his dad. He sees his family. And most importantly, Tanisha gets to make fun of him because he has a nightlight. So have you guys loved to see Tanisha start bringing it in the diary room sessions?
T is killing it, man. Listen, T and Summer are... Ooh.
Running it.
Do you think they're running the game strategically or they're there for entertainment? Because I actually think both are true.
Both are true.
Yeah.
Both are true.
Yeah. Like, I think Summer's more on the entertainment side, but Tanisha's more on the strategic side. That's just
how they're hand in hand. They're hand in hand. They are Tiffany and Hannah. They're working to hand in hand together, getting this done. I mean,
Hannah was quieter, though. These two, none of them.
You see what I mean? Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
True. I mean, Summer is just giving and keeps giving, and T is working out the strategy on what things need to be done. T's a little bit older, just like Tiffany, but they work hand in hand. They are ride or die, side by side, and I love it.
After a really stressful week during Kyle's reign, it's time for a pizza party. Get out that pizza, get out that beer, and you know what happens next. Our clothes start coming off and we get into that hot tub where historically in Big Brother history, strange kisses start happening and we see a Moose and Marty kiss and we also see a Jess and Josh kiss. What a night. What a night it was.
Oh my gosh. I mean, this wasn't the first time we've seen this happen in BB Camp. Like in past seasons of BB Camp, like and back in BB Camp 5, you had like Raul giving a kiss to Joel. You Kevin have like some of the William. Weird kids, huh?
Kevin and William, their first
Kevin and William, like yeah, like and then like William was just like, oh my god, like you know, like it's those kind of moments, like you know, you could just like let loose and like no one's really gonna care. And also, you're doing this in front of Canada, so like if you say no to a certain thing, it's either gonna be put off putting later in the game. Or some people could just be like, oh, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. So really, it's not that surprising. I've seen it a few times, but this is kind of funny. The more times they do it, it's more hilarious to me, but I love it.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. I love hot tub scenes. I think it's really interesting as somebody who, with Josh and with Kevin here,
we all do production for orgs, online reality games. And as seasons go through, you see moments where it's so tense and it's so stressful that you need your players to have just the second to have fun. And I think it was very clear. I doubt it was planned that, hey, on this day, we're going to have a pizza. Like, I think the producers, they just said, they got a hell
of a pizza. They need pizza.
They need alcohol. They need pizza. Yeah. And they need to go have a party. And it's going to be a fun, you know, 3-minute clip on TV. But also, they need it for their mental health because it's been tense.
Yeah, like, I think they deserve a pizza party after the events from last week because it was a lot for them, like, emotionally for Steph, Moose, and then, like...
Even for Kyle.
It was emotional for all of them because Kyle made it very clear that I don't care who I'm working with. Any of you could be going up. Like, the whole time. You know who's safe? People I'm not working with. Y'all the safe ones tonight. Betty, who I barely know, you get to stay. Jess, who I've already stated I don't like, you also get to stay. But Moose, who I went to school with, get on the
way.
And anyway,
how does Moose go from being on the block to being like kind of forgotten again? From he's a big threat to everybody loves me, I'm going to have a party and just Moose and still playing this game. What a good game player.
I think like the focus is so much on Kyle that people forgotten about Moose.
Love it.
No, they were never on Moose. Only Kyle was on Moose.
Oof. That's what I'm saying.
Like, people are so focused on Kyle, they're not really focusing on Moose anymore. They're only focusing on Moose because of
No,
Kyle.
You're missing it. They were never focused on Moose.
But here's the thing. I don't want to relitigate what we're
talking. You get what I'm saying, Josh? Like, only Kyle wanted Moose gone.
But I don't listen. And I actually think his gut was right. I still Moose is a threat, but this wasn't a week 3 move. This was a week 10 move. Way too early.
I think the move was right to gun for Moose. It's just he should have backdoored Moose. That was the ideal thing. If he wanted Moose out, now backdoor Moose.
Does he have the votes to get out Moose?
So let's move on. We start having our obligatory one-on-one conversations with the HOH. And Gino, Gino's got this really interesting strategy where he's going to try to ask a weird question to everybody to, make them feel a little off. And he starts bringing up the bathroom talk again. Gino loves to talk about the bathroom for some reason. He asks Kevin where he wants to go on vacation. Did he ask Kevin or did he ask Andrew? Oh, well, we're about to get there, Kevin. Other Kevin, real Kevin, my Kevin, Kevin I love. So we start seeing these really interesting conversations and weird questioning, but you see two main conversations that I think we should focus on. Conversation number one was him and Summer, where Summer uses this really interesting argument. She says, I know you're working with Kyle, but I think you should put Kyle up. Why? Because I can't come to tell you any information because you are going to go spill it to Kyle, and that's the dude that I don't trust. Wow. Is that not brilliant?
I think if she said that to the wrong person besides Gino, her and T would have gone up on the block. That would have been like a warning sign being like, uh-oh.
I disagree. If I went to Sheldon and said, Sheldon, I love you so much, but I cannot, I mean, we played an org together and that's what I told Sheldon. I said, I don't trust Sarah and I know you're with Sarah and I love you, Sheldon, but I can't tell you stuff because I don't want Sarah to know. Because I know that you'll tell Sarah. So I couldn't tell him the things that we were already doing. Now, mind you, other people were telling him, but in our conversations, that's Sheldon knows. That's what I told him. I said, I can't tell you because I can't have Sarah knowing my plan. And so I can't tell you the plan. That didn't make me more of a target for Sheldon because I was told him that our relationship is good. That's not a problem. It's your relationship with someone else. It doesn't mean I'm targeting you either. It means I want the other person gone.
Oh, no, like, I'm not disregarding that fact. I'm just saying that, like, if it wasn't Gino or if it would have been somebody else, they probably would have taken that as potentially, uh-oh. Like, I would not want to have Summer thinking that for me. I would probably have to put her and T on the block to make sure that Summer goes. Because to them, like, I see that more as a Herman Jess situation in that aspect. If that wasn't Gino, if that was more like Herman, then I'd be like, oh, wait, I don't like how she's saying that to me. I'm going to toss her on the block, kind of like her with Jess. That's just how I view it. So it's a good argument for Summer to put it up for Gino. But mm-hmm. if it was for somebody else, I wouldn't have said that.
Well, but... So I agree with Kevin a lot. However, I could imagine being in the HOH's seat and sitting there hearing that argument from Summer and saying, holy crap, she's smart. Holy crap, she's dangerous. Holy crap, I need to pull a Kyle and get her out.
You see what I'm saying?
I need to go after someone that's definitely just told me they're not going to be coming for me.
Well, exactly. Like, but that's the difficulty in this game, because you have to figure out how to align with people that you could trust. Even though at times you know they're going to be dangerous, they might be smarter than you, they might be more strategically apt than you. And that's the balancing act. It's a hard game. But yeah. I personally thought that was a genius move by Summer. And the truth is, even if it doesn't mean that Kyle goes on the block now, there's a little bit of a nugget in the back of Gino's mind that says, maybe at some point, maybe not this round, maybe not next round, but you have to understand, if you want me to work with you, and I want to work with you, you're going to have to cut him because he screwed up a lot of things. Yep, we then see Kevin getting naked. Because who wouldn't want to do that? And why is he getting naked? And why do we have to see him in his underwear? Let me tell you why. Because he needs to put on a suit. Because Gino can't meet with Kevin. Because Kevin needs to be serious. And we got to get Andrew in. Andrew Gross, lawyer. Andrew Gross comes into that room and says, I don't want to see Summer and T go up. You know, I start saying, I maybe we should put up Jess. I would never be able to put them up.
Well,
never be
able Andrew to comes in the room and says, Andrew. Hi, I'm Kevin's representation. Yes. Kevin is no longer going to be able to speak to you, Gino. Andrew's here.
So here's the interesting thing. He goes in and he's like, I want to have fun. I want to make Gino laugh. I kind of do want to put a few nuggets in there so that he knows where what I'm thinking, what I'm doing. But I want to have a blast. I thought this was genius. And this is the evolution of Kevin from being sad, mopey, annoying, somebody nobody wants to play with, nobody wants to talk to this actor who's playing dress up with everybody and having a gay old time. I love it.
Yeah, like I think Kevin is starting to grow on me a little bit. Like I thought he was done within like the first couple of weeks, but he potentially could go very far with the way that he's setting himself up for the next few weeks. Because for two things, one, he started to get rid of the downplaying, mopey, I have no idea how to play the game, to actually going in and start playing the game. He actually finally dropped the act, and that's what I like. He actually realized he needed to change something up, and it's working for him. He read the room with Gino a little bit, decided to be a little bit more comical, decided to like, hey, throw in a couple of jokes and maybe see if he could win him over. I think he won him over for that. Like, potentially, he can use Gino for like the next few weeks in the game. I think Kevin is slowly winning people over. He's slowly winning Betty over, which we're going to talk about that later. He's slowly winning T over, slowly winning Gino and JL. Like, it's looking very good for him right now.
Is Kevin playing the perfect middle game right now?
He's starting to. He was at the bottom, but he's hard. Starting to.
Huh? It's extremely hard to say that because you guys were right. Most of the time, this kind of game doesn't have time. It's a very, very, very long game. Yeah. And it takes about 21 days to bloom, right? It takes time to really blossom. So if you're going to be those people are probably usually gone in the first couple weeks. People playing like this. So it's I don't know if it's a perfect middle game, but it is definitely worth the shot, and it's working very well. I'm loving it.
So it's a middle game. Yeah, we'll give him that. It's currently a middle game right now that's slowly working for him currently.
Well, here's the thing. Who's thinking about anything? Who's thinking about Kevin right now?
Not anymore.
Nobody's thinking about Kevin.
No, like
he's growing up.
Yeah, like I think like if Kyle didn't do the mess that he did last week, Kevin would have had a bigger target on his back. But now because everyone's so focused on Kyle, they're forgetting about Kevin, they're forgetting about Betty, they're forgetting about other people, and it's just crazy.
It's dumb. It's so dumb. Like your boy Kyle Moore is so dumb because in reality, you should have just did an easy. Like
he's getting the biggest L for me.
The biggest move is just do the easy move, right? You put up Kevin and Jess. If one of them comes down, you put up Betty. You lose nothing.
And don't forget, folks, the Marty flip, that was Kevin's move. That what happened last week was Kevin.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Bringing that.
I'll give him that. Right? Yeah, that was Marty. That was Kevin's move.
So it's time for Wendy's. And Gino goes and decides to bring Josh, goes down those stairs into the pantry. And the Wendy's drive-through window, walk-through in this case, opens up. And who's there? Sarah
Hamlin. Me and Gino had no clue, both of us. We both looked at the screen and said, who that?
Kevin, do you know who that is now? Who's Sarah Hamlin?
No.
Still Sarah is season 3 BB Can winner. And you notice
nor Gino knew who she was.
Okay. Because you notice that the past few weeks you had Jillian showed up whenever BB Can won. You had John Party showed up for BB Can 2 as the winner. And now you have Sarah for season 3. It could show the Phil brothers, the Nick and Phil brothers for season 4 for next week, potentially, because that's the pattern where it's at. Oops.
The Pax Bros. I knew that.
Yeah.
So this is a really interesting scene. Interesting choice for Gino to bring up Josh, somebody who he voted against. Mm-hmm. And you see them having these conversations about the game, conversing about personal stuff. And, you know, although arguably very different people, a firefighter from Montreal who lives in Ottawa, straight, you know, Greek, a doctor from one of the First Nations.
Down in BC.
Yeah. Out on the east, on the West Coast. Very different people really starting to realize, well, they're actually kind of similar. They got things in common. And, you know, even physically, if you look at them, they're two big guys.
Yeah.
I love that they connected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They definitely, I think for Gino, it was a smart choice to pick Josh because he voted against him, but also a good way to repair the relationship and share a bonding moment with the two of them. And just a little bit of a fun side note, Kevin, for the first time in 4 weeks, none of them ordered a spicy chicken sandwich.
Oh my god! This is what I'm here for. This is why I wanted when Josh looked first off when Gino's like obviously switched the fries out for Putin. I was like, yeah. That's a Sheldon move right there. And then the second thing, this is my favorite part. Josh looks and says, "Oh, give me that Dave's double." Oh, we're getting beef. We're getting beef, baby. Getting beef.
I'm sorry. I think you heard it here, folks. The BB executive producers, they're listening to this podcast, and they're saying, we need some beef. Get out of the chicken.
It's like we're seeing the chicken sandwich three times. We're running short. Switch to a burger, please.
And then we couldn't imagine this happening last week after the biggest fight we've seen in the season between Betty and Kevin. Here we see the friendship starting to grow. Betty and Kevin having this really deep emotional moment. Betty says she's missing home. Kevin is growing on him, on her, Betty's saying. And holy crap, you see Betty say something. I heard Marty say that he thinks you'd be a good father. And Kevin starts tearing up. They have this emotional moment. And Betty discloses about her father who was in the hospital and how she was living at home and had to move back and move out. And like you see this real human connection again, just like that scene with that moment with Josh and Gino. How and we start to see how in this game, it's not just a game. People are actually living with each other, they're getting to know each other as human beings. I love this relationship.
See, like I think Betty, Betty's image of Kevin is literally just game bot, doesn't care about anyone. Just wants to betray people left and right. Wants everyone to think that he's just a loner. But when Betty sees Kevin differently and shows that the emotional aspect to Kevin, her tune changed, and you see that in the diary room. So it's like if you have a perception of someone else, you got to find a way to change it so that way they don't gun for you. Because if they do, it's not going to look good. With this moment right here, could potentially would Betty not gun for Kevin anymore? I don't know, maybe.
But and it's she even says last week, yeah, I am going for you now. Mm-hmm. And now they're best friends.
Like, I do hate you. Like, it's what was like that. That makes
friends. That's a stretch. I don't know if they're best friends, but they have a mutual. They're friendly. They're friendly. And I loved that. I thought that was great. And she said, Kevin's growing on her. Because that's what happens with this kind of thing, right? Is that they grow, like, they're there for a while and they start to grow on you.
Yeah.
So we see Gino and Marty get together, and in true Marty styles, Gino says to him, I'm putting you on the block. They have this great conversation. It's actually extremely honest with one another and very respectful. And Gino says, listen, I do not know what to do, but I will put you on the block. And he says, yes, I understand. It's great. By the way, the more time Gino spends with Marty, the more his friend Jackson comes out.
Who?
Gino.
Oh, Jax, right. I think like the interesting thing about it is that like you can tell the relationship with Marty and Gino is a lot more stronger than the edit is being shown. You could tell that like they really do care like about each other, but you could tell that Gino was hurt by Marty flipping. I think Marty showing off his vulnerable side to Gino from that point did kind of sever the tie, but that conversation needed to be had to make sure that they're both in good graces. Now if Marty wins veto and they both reunite, okay, you know, it's possible now. But obviously, I think if Gino were to play it smart, he would put up like two people that kind of did him dirty, because it's not fully on Marty. Yes, Marty did flip, but it wasn't fully on him.
Yeah. Well, we start seeing what ends up being getting very close to our nominations. And we see Gino having a conversation with Kyle and then JC Lynn enter. And Gino lays it out, I'm putting up Marty and I think I'm putting up Tanisha as my second. Okay? Kyle leaves the room and we start to see who really stays in Gino's mind. And JL says to Gino, I think if you put up Tanisha, that's going to be really, really messy. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should do that.
And she's right, because they don't have the votes to get rid of T. Like, unless you put T and Summer on the block, maybe, but no one's going to gun for T. Everybody loves T.
And a few seconds later, nomination ceremony, who's on the block? Well, we see Marty and we see Jess. So obviously what JL said to Gino worked. And I think it says a lot about Gino's relationship with JL and Gino's relationship with Kyle.
Yeah, like I think that also proves in that moment that JL basically has Gino in her back pocket. So it's just like no matter like what happens, JL could be like, hey, Gino, you might want to do this. So technically, Gino's HOH is also JL's HOH.
No, it's not. They're not the same. They're not. She is definitely advising him, but it is not.
Okay, fair.
He presented the options and she helped pick one.
Well, I don't know. Like, look, listen, the three of them are obviously really close because they don't really have anybody else at this point.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. So whether they like each other, they don't like each other. I actually think they do like each other. They don't really have a choice but to work with one another. But I do think it's really important to sort of see that, you know, I think it's kind of impossible that Gino puts up JL this week ever. I don't think it's impossible that Gino puts up Kyle this week. Right. So between the two of them, there's certainly a significant hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And speaking of putting people up, spoiler alert time. If anybody wants to not hear the spoilers, turn this off right now, because John,
if you're leaving now, join us again Friday as we recap the veto and the eviction, live eviction.
Somebody Josh might tell us now. Josh, what's been going on? Josh, what's been going on in the house?
Okay, so going into the future for the live feed forecast for this evening. So what we go into is that we end off the episode with Marty and Jess going up on the block, right? Going up a little bit into the future, we see the veto picks being declared, and here are the people that are going to be put in. And what's interesting enough is that there are a couple of house guest choices picked for those. So for Marty and Jess, they both had house guest choice. Marty picked Summer. And Jess picked Tanisha. And then the last one that got picked. I will get to that in a second. And then the last one is Helena. So Helena, Summer, Tanisha, Marty, and Jess, all three of them are going into the veto competition. And I do have slight bit details of the veto competition, but what do y'all think of the picks?
So I thought it was interesting that you said that Marty chose Summer and Jess chose T. I see that Jess choosing T, I think they have a very secret relationship that they're working on there that I could see working out. But the Marty with the Summer pick, I thought Marty would have picked someone like Kevin to help take him down.
Yeah, I would have thought Jess would have wanted to pick Kevin as well, although I think that they're trying to lower their threat level of as a potential pair of some type. Yeah, I don't know. I find it weird. I can't wait to see in the show what they tell us about it, because it is weird.
Well, the interesting thing about it is that, like, after, like, the nominations, like, were to put off, like, Marty and Jess both have a conversation, and then they realize that, like, they need to get one of themselves off the block, or it looks like the target may be Marty, because Gino also expressed that Marty, you either need to win veto or you're going home. So Marty is the indeed target, not for Jess, unless the vote were to be flipped, but Gino doesn't really care in the sense. So then what's interesting is that, like, Marty also later on, after the novice were picked, goes up to Summer and says, would you like, I'm going to pick you to go in for the veto pick. And then Summer's like, okay. Like, Summer's not really, like, expecting it, but Marty's picking Summer. I'm like, you would have had a better odd with either Kevin, or you probably would have had better odds with, like, maybe JL or someone. No, wait, sorry, not JL. That's a bad choice. You could have picked someone else, but Summer, I don't know. That was an interesting choice. For Jess with Tanisha, I have no clue. What?
Huh. Who wins, Vito?
So
are we going to have a four-peat?
So, you, ironically, for the first time in 4 weeks, the veto was won by, drumroll please, Marty won the POV. Oh,
so once again, another nominee won the veto?
That is correct. Marty won the veto. And what's interesting is that the competition, we actually had a little bit of a sneak peek. There was actually some tasks that they had to do. So either this competition was like the prize veto or something that is just like, that's like an endurance comp that eventually the first one that gets eliminated gets to choose a prize. You know, like, I think it's maybe one of those comps, because that's the only thing that I could really think of for Marty to win veto, which is possible. So we go into a little bit of the future. Once again, JL gets into Gino's ear as well as Summer. And what's interesting here, I never thought this was going to happen. And even Sheldon says that potentially Kyle might not go up. Uh-oh. Well, let's just say here, I eventually got screwed up again, because Gino comes up to Kyle and says, you're going on the block.
Wow.
And next thing you know, Kyle went up on the block as the replacement nom. And now going into the eviction, we might get our first unanimous eviction with Kyle going home. Wow.
So Kyle's on the block.
Kyle's on the block. Everyone is thinking about voting him off. And what's interesting, as the live feeds are going, they're all basically listing whatever Kyle's lies that are throwing at his face, because they are aware that Summer and T, their names are being thrown out, as well as Betty's. And none of them are believing him because they already burned him. So it doesn't matter what Kyle's trying to do at that point. He's already done. And most of it is just like smoke screen. So everybody is just like, okay, well, Kyle is just going to spew up whatever he wants to say so he could potentially go home. So we could have ourselves our first unanimous eviction. Wow. Thoughts, folks?
Well, it's interesting because I feel like Gino didn't have any other move at this point, right? You're trying to rebuild relationships in the house. And from what you've understood, if anyone is going to be putting you up, they're going to be putting you up next to Kyle. Last thing you need is for Kyle to win the veto, and then now Gino's sitting up there by himself, maybe next to JL, which is the thing he doesn't want to happen. So if that's the case, Kyle, like, you've made the bed that we've all had to try to swim through, and so you're going to have to lay in it.
Yeah, what? I kind of agree with Kevin here, because it's just like, for Kyle's case, it didn't matter who won HOH. He was 100% going to be put up on the block, either by either outright or backdoor plan. And like, to be honest, I didn't think Gino had a backdoor option until like Summer and JL like brought it up to him. So I think like he actually like, and what's even more ironic is that like, even though Summer and Gino aren't really on like on the same page in terms of alliances, they still have a really close relationship that Summer may have influence on Gino. So this may be Summer's move, but this also could be JL's move because they both told him to put Kyle up because they both realize that they don't want to piss off the house anymore and they want to rebrand some relationships, which is kind of what the episode is about, is Gino trying to replenish his relationship. So going into next week, he's good.
Listen, this was a sucky week for Gino because this
100%.
This had to be week one for Gino again when everybody else was in week three. And truth be told, it had nothing to do with him. It wasn't his fault. And so the only way he could actually tell people, listen, look at me. Don't associate myself with the lunacy that happened last week. I need to try to salvage something with Josh. I need to try to salvage something with Summer. I need to try to salvage something with Tanisha. I have to get rid of him. Yes, it's a number that would certainly be for me, but the likelihood of me and Kyle going back to back to back HOHs this entire season is minimal. And unless I actually get rid of him, there's no way that I'm going to be here longer.
That much longer after he leaves.
So it's the only move he has. I feel bad for Kyle, in truth, because this is his best friend in the house actually putting him up, but it's the right move for Gino.
Yeah, and the thing is that most of the live feed stuff is just really just recap of like Kyle's reign from last week, and right. Which is why like a lot of the stuff on the live feeds is just mostly covers on that. But if you really want to know other aspects about it, it seems by the looks of things that here's like a bunch of like fun moments that like once the competition ends, there has been a bunch of phone calls.
What?
There has been a handcuffs with There's Summer.
Everyone's on slop. What? Everyone's on slop.
Everyone's on slop. And as well as Summer There's some and kind of Gino.
Punishment where Gino and Summer were handcuffed together.
Yeah.
Sounds like the opposite of punishment.
Exactly.
Summer is loving every minute of it.
I think Gino is secretly too. I saw the Smash clip on Twitter and JL asked Gino, did you miss me? And then they smashed all the clips of them walking around, them holding hands, Summer and Gino holding hands, them giving a long hug in the storage room, and then it cuts back and to Gino and JL sitting on the couch, and Gino goes, meh.
Well, I think we're going to have a lot to recap on our Friday episode because it sounds like there's been a lot of stuff Big Brother has been doing this week outside of what seems to be, I hope at least to be, the demise of Kyle. And what a week it will be. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Josh, for joining. Kevin, what's on your mind? Anything to plug?
Yeah, man. So definitely check out the DCOM After Dark podcast. It is
Luck of the Irish.
Luck of the Irish. Check that out. Also, make sure you're back on tomorrow.
Yes.
Not tomorrow. I like Thursday. As we recap the third episode of Survivor 42.
And what a season it's been so far. If y'all have not watched Survivor yet, check it out. Check out that podcast. There's some really interesting insight in there. Check it out. Sorry, Kevin.
Last week we had Sheldon on the show. So just check out last week's episode. And then this week, I don't know who's going to be on the show. Talk to Kylie. I'm just there. So I'm told to be there, so I show up. So make sure you check that out Thursday at 8 o'clock right here on For the Fans. Check that out. What about you, Josh?
All right. So we're getting close to the deadline. Survivor.
When are we getting Pandemic Season 6? When's it going to be out, Josh?
It's going to be coming out next week.
What?
It's going to be coming out next week. The first episode will be dropping in. We're going to throw in some Meet Me videos. They're going to be coming in very, very soon. We're going to be throwing in the official intro of the season. And as well as the first episode, which should be coming in by the end of the month, maybe around early April, but we're right near that deadline. Season 6, stay tuned. If you haven't really followed the YouTube channel, I will drop the link right in there where you all can see it. And Pandemic, the first episode coming in.
What's the name of the channel? Pandemic Orcs?
Just Survivor Pandemic. It's just the name.
Search Survivor Pandemic on YouTube. Check it out. Watch the episodes. If you go back to season 4, you'll see Sheldon. Ooh. You'll see me in glimpses. I'm playing the best game there, but I'm like just not on screen. Check that out, season 4.
But he loses.
So do you, sucker. So do you.
He's playing the best game, but he loses, and so do I.
Well, check it out, season 4, and then be on the lookout for season 6. Survivor Pandemic on YouTube. Check that out.
Show me what you got. Well, listen, I got nothing to plug outside of my car battery because it gets cold up in Canada. You guys don't have
Friday.
To go to Las Vegas.
Be back Friday.
Friday, come and join us. Kevin's like, shut up, Sheldon. Come and join us on Friday. We'll be back with our next episode of the recap for the fans. Can't wait to see you all there. We're going to talk about the next two episodes, see who left, who's the next HOH, and hey, maybe something a little bit extra and more fun. You never, ever know. From outside of Vaughan, Ontario, I'm Sheldon with Kevin and Josh. Goodbye.
Goodbye.